Parshas Bahar. We get a break this week. Ordinarily, it's Bahar B'chukosai. And the two hard parshas, even though their Bahar is relatively speaking short, it's jam-packed, a lot of long rashis, a lot of complicated halachas about business matters, an economic system. It's a very fascinating study. He's not here. Dr. Fruchter is not here yet. Dr. Yanky Fruchter, his son. He has a son which is very into Yovel. Very, he has a
what?
Yovel, the laws, the economic, an analysis on the economy of a country based upon understanding that Yovel is the centerpiece of a land ownership. It's a very, very fascinating concept of every 50 years, land returns to its original owner. And the ramifications of people engaging in business, when you're selling something, you know in advance it's not going to be yours forever.
It's like a lease.
Right. So it has major, major, it's an incredible, a lot of chokhmah. There's the chokhmah of the six parishes beyond belief. How to deal with fields, how to deal with homes in walled cities, how to deal with homes in unwalled cities. Shevet Levi is the exception to everything. It's an amazing, amazing combination of forces in the world of commerce and economics, how they all interconnect to create an economy. Okay, America has big, big problems in America. Okay, the economy has, you know, the forecast, social security, healthcare, you know, deficit, trillions of dollars. Big. These are big things. How do you reset an economy that has a deficit of trillions and trillions of dollars? Okay. So over here, the first thing that this parasha begins with. So don't be misled to think that the parasha is an easy parasha just because it's short. It's a very hard parasha. But the first sugi of the parasha deals with Shemitah. We spent the day on this week discussing Shemitah. This year it's very, very, this week it's very important because this year, what? I don't know. 57 sukkim, okay. The first section of the parasha is Shemitah. This year is a Shemitah year. We are now holding in a Shemitah year. It's extremely relevant to in Yoni Diyoma, the laws of Shemitah. And the first pasuk begins, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe b'har Sinai lemar. Rashi asks the question, the obvious question, my inyan Shemitah etzel har Sinai. The introduction to all the laws, which take approximately half the parasha of Shemitah and Yovel, why is it uniquely introduced with the word b'har Sinai? So Rashi tells us a yisod. First, he quotes, Rashi is very uncharacteristic what Rashi does here. He quotes a Maimer Chazal and then explains what the Maimer Chazal means. Rashi doesn't do that. Rashi just cuts to the chase. He tells you an idea and you figure out, you go and do research and find that what Rashi told you really is a Maimer Chazal. And Rashi, the way he explained it, he gave over his Beor. Or Rashi says his own ideas. Or Rashi quotes Targum, he disagrees or agrees. Or Rashi just quotes a Maimer Chazal. What Rashi does over here is very unique. Rashi, he quotes a Maimer Chazal, and then he basically says, what does this mean? And then Rashi, on his own, tells you his own parish what the Chazal means. It's very rare, very unique in how Rashi expresses what he does in the first Rashi. Now let me read the words. My inyan Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai. The haloi kol han mitzvos nemru misinai. All of the mitzvos were said misinai. We don't repeat that fact every single time. Ella, this is a quotation. Everything Rashi over here tells you is a quotation. Ella, ma shemita nemru ki liloi secha. Now this is in the brackets. There's a question if this one really is here. Ufiro toy secha v'diktu kecha misinai. Just like with regard to shemita, the klolim, the general rules, the specific rules, and the fine details, v'diktu kecha, v'klolosecha v'dotosecha, v'diktu kecha misinai, af From here, you should learn that with regard to every single mitzvah, the mitzvah of wearing tefillin, the mitzvah of mezuzah, the mitzvah of shanis, the mitzvah of kosher animals. So you should be aware, af kula nemru kililoy sehen vidiktu kehen misinai. Then Rashi says, kach shenuya v'toras kohanim. I have just quoted for you word for word what it says in Toras Kohanim, otherwise known as the Sifra, the book. The book which is the earliest record of Torah Shebaal Peh put in writing. Everything in the Gemara is all the drasha, all taken, they're all expanded upon the Medrash Halacha. The Medrash Halacha, we studied this many times, is the Mechilta, that's on Shemois. There's no Medrash Halacha on Bereshis. The Medrash Halacha is a book. There is a little bit, but it's not included. There's no book Medrash Halacha on Bereshis. It starts with Parshas Bo Hachoydish Zelochem. We're really Bo it's called the Mechilta. That's the Medrash Halacha on Chumash Shemois. And then the Sifra is the Medrash Halacha on Chumash Vayikra, otherwise known as Toras Kohanim. And then there's something called the Sifrei Loshem Rabim. Not Sifri, Sifrei, two books, and that is it's one book, which include the Halacha of Bamidbar and Devarim. It's one book. It's one book, but it's called Sifrei, after the two books. It's one book which includes all of the Halachas that are taught in Sefer, in Chumash Bamidbar, and in Chumash Devarim. That is the first time Torah Shebaal Peh was put in writing, because people began to forget. And it's a very, these books are not even so big. Okay, today when you go to the store, they look massive because of the commentary on it. And it's very hard, it's very, very cryptic. It's very, it's not easy reading at all to learn the Sifra, the Chilta. It's torture. It's very, very cryptic. The Talmud Bavli is basically a bayer, a parish on the Mechilta, the Sifra, and the Sifri, plus a lot of other things they threw in to give us a guide for life. So the Talmud Bavli and Talmud Yerushalmi is basically a bayer of the Medrash Halacha. That was the first thing ever put in writing. At the time when they wrote the Medrash Halacha, they also put in writing the Medrash Agada, and that is the Medrash Rabbah. And those are five books, and all of their friends, their other books. And by the way, that's the Medrash Halacha that we refer to most, and it's not the only, there are other books at that time that are also in the category of Medrash Halacha, but from different yeshivas.
Yeah, this week at the Daf Yomi, the Merchant studied the Torah Kohanim in 3 days. It took him 3 days to go through it, and 3 months to go into the
depth. So very, very, yeah, right. It was put right. Now, Rashi, very uncharacteristically, writes a quotation, Kach Shnu B'Toras Kohanim. And then, look what he says, V'nira li shekach perusha. What does this mean? What does this mean, this statement? What kind of statement is this? Is that just like when it comes to Shnita, it was taught the Klolo Secha V'Diktu Keha, so too, all of the mitzvahs. What do you mean? What exactly does this mean? Explain it. You know, we can just repeat words. We don't even know what we're saying. So he explains. He says, "Lefi." He says here the key words. This is the main chiddush of Rashi. Lefi. This is his chiddush. Shaloi motzinu shemitas karkois shenishnes be'arvois moyov b'mishneh Torah. Moshe taught the Torah twice. Or at least twice. Yes. He taught the Torah at Har Sinai, when he came down from Har Sinai. And then over the 40 years, he taught more Torah here and there. And then, when it came to Arv Yisrael, when it came to right before they came into Eretz Yisrael, not even Moshe downstairs today?
We have to go down to a couple
getting
minutes.
Nervous.
No, I want to hear the end of it.
Hey, when it came to Arv Yisrael, this is very still far, I'm saying. If it comes to Arv Smoyov, Moshe did not say a word. When Moshe was about to enter into Eretz Yisrael, it started with Adar approximately, it says in Shvat, Rosh Chodesh Shvat, he reviewed kol haTorah kula. Chumash Bamid the Devarim is a chazara plus a lot more. He added a lot of new things there. I'm rubbing against it. That's why I think this funny noise. I was wondering where it's coming from. He repeated the entire Torah, but he did not, for some strange reason, he repeated the entire Torah, all of the halachas, but he left out deliberately all of the laws of Shmita. And Yovel is completely ignored. And how could it be? How could Moshe Rabbeinu completely? He did. He didn't mention what. Why? The only explanation that for Moshe Rabbeinu not reviewing the laws of Shemitah and Yovel, it must be that he already taught Klal Yisrael every single minute detail about Shemitah and Yovel at Har Sinai. Right. So there's no need to review. I taught you every little detail. I have limited time from Rosh Chodesh Shavat until I die on Zion Adar. And therefore, I'm not going to review those halachas. I'm not going to mention one word about Shemitah of the Yovel. I'm going to rely upon what I taught you at Har Sinai. But everything else, I'm going to review with you. So along comes Rashi, just like Moshe Rabbeinu, he relied upon the fact that he already taught Klal Yisrael laws of Shemitah of Yovel at Har Sinai with every single minute detail. That's an indication that every other halacha, Moshe also taught every single little detail. It's just that he felt the need to review it with Klal Yisrael Nochamo a second time around when they came into Eretz Yisrael. So what you know what this Rashi is really telling us, it really stands out, really leaps off the page. It's not that what Moshe Rabbeinu taught Klal Yisrael. It's what Moshe Rabbeinu did not teach Klal Yisrael. Parshas Bahar is an incredible revelation to Klal to us, according to Rashi's understanding, is that Moshe Rabbeinu, there's one area in Halacha that Moshe Rabbeinu deliberately did not teach. I taught it to you once, enough. Genukshon, enough. I taught you once, no more. You don't remember it? Go get the tape. Go to Torah anytime and look me up and get the tape. I'm not repeating this anymore. He left it over. He left it out.
It makes more sense that
he should
review right before he go into Eretz Yisrael.
What? Oh, you got it. So this opens up a whole world of commentary. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu Bidafka not review these halachos more so than anything else? So Mr. Marillis touched upon the first basic yisoid, and that is, you see this theme all over the Chazal. When they came into Eretz Yisrael, there was a very great day. There's a mamash whole thing in Yirmiyah, Yavin, and the Nevi'im all over. People really believed, they were misled to believe, that the mitzvahs, Taryag mitzvahs, are only meant to be observed only in Eretz Yisrael. And if you get on a plane, and you leave, you come to America, you come to Ellis Island, you throw all the Torah into the river. Forget it, done, no
Wait,
more.
What are you talking about?
What?
Which period?
The whole period of, what do you mean? What do you mean? There was a belief throughout, in Yirmiyah, Yirmiyah told them,
so
there's a whole
the
period
in
Yirmiyah.
People,
what?
Yeah,
There was a problem that people were misled to believe that Torah was only meant to be observed in Eretz Yisrael.
By who?
Who else? By Klal Yisrael. The Torah to a certain degree. Yeah. If the whole purpose, if the Torah was given to Klal Yisrael, the whole goal was to go into Eretz Yisrael. I'm taking Moshe came to take the Jews out of Egypt to go to Eretz Yisrael, and on the way we're going to pick up at Har Sinai the Torah HaKadoshah, and we're going to make our final destination in Eretz Yisrael. The understanding was it was meant that we should observe Taryag Mitzvos only in Eretz Yisrael, and Chas V'Shalom will come a point in time where Klal Yisrael goes into Galus, and we're no longer living, the majority of Klal Yisrael is now living in Eretz Yisrael. You don't need to observe the Taryag Mitzvos. You don't need to observe the Taryag Mitzvos. And there could not be greater apikorsis than this. This could not be. And this was a struggle. There's a whole chapter in Sefer Yirmiyah where he was telling the Mamash Mila B'Mila, where he tells the people, you don't make this mistake. Ridiculous. You think that you left Eretz Yisrael, you no longer need to be Mishon Torah Mitzvahs. Shtus V'Hevel. The Torah is eternal. Even though the Milos of being Mekayim the Mitzvahs, the Eretz Yisrael are certainly exalted, but it does not mean for one second that if you leave Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to do the Mitzvahs. There are mitzvahs hatluyos baretz, and there are mitzvahs not tluyos baretz, but the Torah is eternal. It applies to the entire world. Therefore, Mr. Mills, what you're saying is Moshe Rabbeinu, he bedafka left out as they came into Eretz to show the laws of Shemitah V'Yovel, because the laws of Shemitah V'Yovel define Eretz Yisrael. And if you're going to, Moshe is standing, it's Rosh Chodesh Shvat, it's a month and a half before Moshe Rabbeinu dies. He's now reviewing Klal Yisrael Kol HaTorah Kula. If Moshe Rabbeinu is going to go, we're here on the Ever Hayyadim, we're mamish about to come into Eretz Yisrael. We're going to come in. If I'm now going to emphasize there's Shemitah, there's Yovel, which in essence define the Kedushas HaOretz, and I'm going to package that together with the Tayag Mitzvos, I'm going to add to your confusion in believing that the Tayag Mitzvahs are only meant to be observed when you observe Shemitah V'Yovel. Shemitah V'Yovel is the essence of Eretz Yisrael. The land is Hashem's land. Shabbos LaHashem. Every year is part of the calculation of Shemitah and Yovel. The Kedusha Sa'aretz. And you can be misled to believe that all of the Tayag Mitzvahs are packaged in this halacha. I'm not teaching you this. We're going to ignore this. Because when you're coming into Eretz Yisrael, you have, and I'm not teaching you the halachas, because the halachas are all totally rooted in there being Kedushas Haaretz. I'm reviewing you the halachas now because I'm going to die. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu teaching them the halachas the second time around? You can make a chakira. Moshe Rabbeinu is not going to enter with them. He's on the edge of the land. You make a chakira. Is Moshe chazering all the Torah because Moshe is going to die? So I want to make sure before I die, you got it straight. You have any questions? Let's go through the halachas. Let's review. If there any questions, let's clarify the issue. That's why I'm reviewing the Torah. Well, maybe no. The reason why Moshe Rabbeinu is reviewing the Torah is because now we are on the edge of the boundary. We're about to enter. And this is the location where all of the Torah, it's relevant. It's not relevant. That's why it's going to become relevant now. And the implication is that if you're going to go into Golis, it's not going to be relevant. The answer is number one. The reason why I'm reviewing you with Kol HaTorah Kula is because I'm going to die. And you're not going to be able to ask me questions. And we need to clarify every little detail. It's not because it's only relevant when we cross over the Yarden. Therefore, to make you understand that, there's something I'm not going to teach you. I'm not going to teach you the laws of Shemitah V'Yovel. I'm not going to discuss with you the concept of the Kedusha Sa'aretz in order to make it clear to you that what I'm reviewing with you is eternal and it applies b'chol hamakom, b'chol in the entire world. So b'dafka, this Rashi is a very critical Rashi. Because this Rashi makes it very clear that Moshe Rabbeinu deliberately omitted reviewing the laws of Shemitah V'Yovel, which is the essence of Kedushas Haaretz, the moment before they entered into Klal Yisrael. That's what we learn from this Rashi. That's Rashi's perush on this Maamar Chazal. My inyan Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai. There's something unique, Rashi's chiddush, novel idea. There's something unique about Shemitah that's not true with regard to Kol HaTorah Kula. Shemitah, Rashi says, was the only mitzvah to a certain degree, in a certain understanding, that Moshe deliberately did not teach before by Arvas Moyav. And therefore, how then did the Jews know all of the laws, the details? The only way is because he taught them every little detail at Har Sinai. From now we can learn, everything was repeated twice. But that opens up a whole massive question. Rashi is telling us a yesod that we would not otherwise know, that Moshe did not mention one word about Kedushas Eretz Yisrael before they entered into Eretz Yisrael. What, Moshe, was an anti-Zionist? How you talking? He didn't hold from Eretz Yisrael, and that's why he deliberately omitted Kedushas Eretz? So why not? So Mr. Merul has touched upon one answer. And this answer has to be because Moshe is making it clear to them. The Torah, the ideal place in the Mekayim, the Torah, is in Eretz Yisrael. There's no greater Zionist than Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe v'eschanan el Hashem v'eisahi le'emar. Moshe begged to the limit. I'll toysef da'aber elai. Hashem had to tell Moshe, don't even open your mouth one more time. There was no greater oyev Eretz Yisrael than Moshe Rabbeinu. But Hashem said to Moshe, but Moshe deliberately omitted the Kedush HaSaretz to make it clear Torah does not depend. If Chas V'Sholem, you're going to find yourself in Golos, like we are today, it doesn't matter, you must be Mekai, you call out Torah Kula. I want to give you another answer.
It is,
no, you're saying a different approach. Okay, I hear what you say, well, let's go with this. I want to give you another answer. I think this answer is another approach. And that is, if Moshe Rabbeinu only, let's look at all of the other halachas. When a halacha is repeated multiple times, when halachas are repeated multiple times, so how do you know this is the halacha? Well, I know about the mitzvah of tefillin. My last memory is that my Rebbe Moshe Rabbeinu, he taught it to me right before we came into Eretz Yisrael. Oh, so you're telling me that the mitzvah of tefillin, it's a pasuk in the Torah. It's in the, and Moshe, your last memory is right before Moshe, you came into Eretz Yisrael. No, that's not really correct. You know why you mekayim the mitzvah of tefillin? It says very little about tefillin in the Torah. It just says put on tefillin. What are tefillin? Four boxes, they're square, and all there are a million details. How do you know this? Halacha l'moshe misinai. You stood at Har Sinai, and Hashem spoke to Klal Yisrael. And that maimot of Har Sinai, it was given to you everything. Hashem said the Rosh Prophet Moshe at Har Sinai taught Klal Yisrael everything. So if someone will say to you, why do you wear tefillin? Well, you know, it's in the Torah. Hashem gave us the Torah. And the last time we learned about tefillin, Moshe Rabbeinu, right before we came into Eretz Yisrael, we taught us tefillin. That takes away from the concept of halacha l'moshe misinai. With all of the mitzvahs, Eretz Yisrael is unique in that when you want to, a person wants to reflect upon the Kedushas Ha'aretz, you are forced to think of one thing only, Har Sinai. You're forced to be taken back to Maimon Har Sinai, Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. Every mitzvah has that element. But every mitzvah, because man is only man, a man forgets and he's confused, and there are a lot of halachas. He needs, you know, you need a little chizuk. You need it to be repeated. You need an art scroll tomorrow. You have to read the footnotes. But every time you repeat it and you review it, to a degree, you diminish its full sanctity. Person, a mashal, have a wedding. People say this all the time. Person gets mad. And in your mind, you relive the wedding. I remember the wedding. I remember my wedding. I remember this person's wedding. You remember a special event. And then what happens? Time passes. Your memory fades. And then what happens? You look at the video. Fast forward 50 years, 60 years. What do you remember about your wedding? What do you remember about the event? My memories of the event is what I saw in the video. It's very true. I hope you do this. You go, people have videos, right? You know, in the olden days, there was no sound, and the whole thing was 15, 20 minutes on the old reels. The whole wedding was recorded. And people, Baruch Hashem, they're very productive lives, extremely busy, accomplish amazing things. You know, the mind, that's the way it is. You forget. So on and so forth. The only memories I have of my wedding is what I saw in the, when I think about my wedding, I just think about the 20-minute video movie of my wedding, which I turned it into electronically, converted electronically, and I can watch it, I can even watch it on my phone. That's the only memory of my wedding. All the things that happened at my wedding, the wedding was a big event. It took 3 or 4 hours to hold the whole shtiel. And there were very meaningful things that happened. My chaverim, my rebbeim, my family, they came, they were shmazel tov. It was a very moving event. And relatives come now, 50 years later, they tell me about something that happened at my wedding. And they trigger a memory, oh, that's right. And I'm moved. But you know, suddenly the only thing that I remember, because I'm so busy, is just basically what I can watch on a 20-minute movie of my wedding. That's life. Okay, that's life. You no longer are remembering the ikar. You're focusing on the reruns. And the reruns can only capture a fraction of what really happened. When it comes to, that's necessary. Because if you're not going to have the movie, you'll remember nothing, right? There's a danger, you'll remember, but that's life. You have to have movies. You have to have video. You have to have a recording. If I don't have a recording, I'm going to have nothing. Nope. So that's, but tell me, is that the ideal way to remember an event? The ideal way to remember an event is to experience it and not to have to need to come on to a video. The ideal, if the first people had minds that were open and photographic, you don't need to hire a videographer and someone to take pictures. I need pictures of my wedding. I was there. I saw everyone. I saw what everyone looks like. I remember it like it was today. I need to go look at pictures. It's so funny, today we need the pictures. Mamish, the moment after it happens, where's the pictures? I went to an event very, very recently, and I took out my phone, and I started taking some pictures and videos. And the person who saw me taking pictures, he called me, he texted me, 1:30 in the morning, where are the pictures? You were just at the event. You need the pictures now, only 2-3 hours after it's over. You live the event. A year later, you look at the pictures. You forget. If our minds were really open, you would absorb the event, the significance of the event, and you would never need to look at a picture. You would never need a recording. Unfortunately, that's not the way Hashem made us. We forget. Mm. We forget. And we then begin to remember everything from the reruns. And our memories are based upon the pictures. What is Facebook all about? No one ever posts on Facebook something that's embarrassing. You only post on Facebook the glorious moments of your life. Everything that they think is good. Everything is good. But they wouldn't put something that they really embarrass, something they would never post. People would never put it in their day because they think this is cute, this, that. They want, and they try. You try to define your life. You define by the pictures. By the you create an image of what you want to be. It's not reality. Reality is reality. Moshe Rabbeinu was very clever. What is the most important thing in Yadus? And that's the most important thing. I don't mean like that. The most important thing is, you know, it all starts with the ovens. Hashem promised to Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov Eretz. Eretz Yisrael captures a quality of Judaism to a degree that is essential. Torah, obviously, Torah, Sivan, Moshe, Maharas, Makabal, the Torah. But the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of this land to bring us into Eretz Yisrael to live in and to live in the land a Torahic life with Har Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu was very clever. He did not take pictures of the mitzvah of Har Sinai. There are Tayag mitzvahs. So at the weddings, at the Tayag mitzvahs, what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? Before Moshe Rabbeinu, he said goodbye to Klal Yisrael, he took a picture of every single mitzvah, 612 mitzvahs. I'm leaving you guys, I'm going to Shemayim, I'm saying goodbye. Before we go, let's take some selfies. All of the mitzvahs should line up with me, and we're going to take a picture. Mitzvah number one, Kru Revu, stand next to me, take a picture. Klaus here, put this in your photo album. Next mitzvah, Shatnez, stand next to me, take a picture, put this in your photo album. When we now reflect upon the Taryag mitzvos, we try the best that we can to go back to Har Sinai. But we need a little chizuk. We need some chizuk. We need Mishneh Torah. Moshe repeated the mitzvahs because Klal Yisrael needed to hear it again. They needed to hear it again with a different perspective, with the different details. Moshe needed to refresh Klal Yisrael before he left us with Mishneh Torah. But there's one mitzvah he didn't. He chose not to. That's the first Rashi. He deliberately said, I'm not teaching this to you. Why? I don't want you to remember this from a picture. I want you to remember Behar Sinai. I want you to remember the real deal. The Kedushas Ha'aretz, which really is the others, synthesize with the revelation, Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai, to give you the Torah, to live in Eretz Yisrael, a life of Torah in Eretz Yisrael. I don't want you to remember that from a picture. I want you to train yourself to remember the concept of the land that was promised to Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, synthesized with Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai, Torah. I want you to I want the memory, the pure, unadulterated memory, not the artificial picture. My chazara with you, which is a very good thing, obviously, but will certainly, to a degree, diminish the potent memory of reality, what we really experienced. Rashi here, we're learning, Rashi over here, we're learning about the mitzvah. Rashi over here is doing a tremendous chayva. Over here, we're coming to learn half the parish, Shmita V'yayva. Rashi is coming to tell us, you know what kind of mitzvah this is? To appreciate Kedushas Ha'aretz. Kedushas Ha'aretz infused with Torah. Rashi says Moshe didn't repeat it. Rashi's opening line to this parasha, this is a one-time deal. Moshe here at Har Sinai is going to teach you all the details, and you're going to have to remember this moment forever. You're not going to be allowed to go, give me my notebook. Give me the notebook. Let me pull it up on my phone. Look at the camera. Look at my photos to bring back. And now you're going to come and you're going to relate to this mitzvah like just from a from a record, from a transcript. Rashi here in this first parasha, the parasha is telling you the mitzvah of Matan Torah, the mitzvah of Kedusha Soares is so important and it's so powerful, it's not going to be repeated ever again. Why? Because you have to connect to it in the purest form. So it brings upon you the greatest impact it can possibly can. Not an artificial recreation, record, transcript, which is, it's a necessary evil for everything in life, but not when it comes to Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Okay, I'm going to go to another idea. The parasha is very complicated, this parasha. Parasha deals with the laws of land ownership. Let's first deal with everyone in Klal Yisrael except for the Levim. I'm not going to go through all the halachas. It's too complicated for me. You have to go through all the rashis, all the halachas, very complicated. But there's something called the person owns land. So land, there's a safety net, the Torah gives. So land, if a person, Rahman al-Islam, is poor, and he needs emergency funds, he can sell his land. Only in that situation, Rashi says. And then what happens? You can buy it back. If your fortune changes, you're not allowed to reclaim it for 2 years. You have to let the person who purchased it, you know, use it for 2 years. But after 2 years, you can buy it back at a prorated value. And then if you can't even do that, Yoivo will come, you get it back. Ultimately, there's a safety net that will come back. What about a person's makdish? He sanctifies his field. So there are also techniques. You also, I think it also goes back. You can redeem it. You can redeem it from the Beis HaMikdash. If a person sells makdish to the Beis HaMikdash, you can redeem it. If the Beis HaMikdash sells it to someone else, but basically, there all along the way, there are opportunities to get your land back. And what happens if you have a house, a bayis? So it depends. If the bayis is in a walled city, the bayis is in a walled city, or the bayis that in a walled city, so then it's a dangerous game. Because a bayis, here the Torah does not provide for you such a great safety net. If a person sells the bayis, your bayis, you have 1 year. Here, just the opposite. Here the Torah is telling you, get it, you better buy it back right away. If you don't buy it back within 1 year, you lose it. You lose it to the degree, even when it comes yovel, you'll never get it back.
That includes the land the bayis is on.
Correct. The land the bayis is on. The land the bayis is on. Only a soda. Let's clarify this. A very important point. We're dealing here with a regular Jew, not a Levi. The Torah differentiates between a soda and a bayis. A soda, there's a safety net. You'll always, it's FDIC. Okay? Government guarantees. It's insured. Basically insurance. FDIC, your land will always come back. But not the bayis. There's no guarantees for the bayis. Only for the land. Along comes the Torah, and the Torah says a Levi is different. A Levi can always get back his bayis, no matter what. Okay, Yovel comes, he gets it back. A Levi is the exception. And the Pasuk says, as Rashi explains, why is a Levi different? Because a Levi doesn't have a soda. Ein lechelech. Hashem hu nachalosa. Levim, Kohanim and Levim do not own land. So the only thing the Levi has is the bayis. He has a house in the Orei HaLevim. There are 48 cities of Levim, which include the Kohanim as well. There were 48 cities that the Levim, they own houses. They did not own land. So it's a fascinating psychological concept. A person has a need for security, no matter what. So a regular Yisrael, he owns land. That is where he will find his security. I own a parcel of land. It produces grain, produce. The Torah says, that's your security. Even in the worst scenario, it'll come back to you when it comes yoga. Your home? Sorry. The economy does not allow. We need a healthy, vibrant economy. You have to go and figure out how all this works. How all these concepts work with regard to how... But a home? Sorry, if you sell your home and you don't redeem it within 1 year, you lose. Oh, but I need security in life. Your outlet for security will be found in the sodeh. So Rashi says, an incredible Rashi is like Ramash, human psychology, incredible ideas. What about a Levi? A Levi doesn't have land. So if a Levi doesn't have land, he doesn't have security in land. And the whole, if you're going to tell me that a Levi follows the same exact laws as everyone else in Klal Yisrael with regard to a bayis, if the Levi is in a very desperate situation, he has 10 daughters to marry off, and he needs to sell his house for some funds, and he doesn't have the money to buy back his house within 1 year, he loses it forever. So a Levi is korech mikan, the korech mikan, he never had a soda to begin with. Because Levim, Hashem u'nachala, so they don't have a nachala, and he has no security in his sada, because he doesn't have a sada. And you're going to tell him that he follows the regular rules of all Jews in Klal Yisrael, and he has of a bayis, and if he sells the bayis, he loses it forever. He's going to go out of his mind. He's going to lose his marbles. He has no security in life. I don't have property. Even the little bit that I have, I'm going to lose. So the Torah says, Levi, don't, I'm going to take care of you. We're going to make an exception. If a Levi sells the bias, he gets it back forever. He can redeem it whenever he wants forever. And I think Yovel also gets it back by Yovel. The Levi is the exception. It's an incredible psychological analysis of the human condition, of the need for a person to have a sense of security. Unbelievable. Torah was Yovel Oinkar Sholdova. That's right. I just told you that Chumash Rashi. I didn't tell you any Chidushim. Now I want to say a Drush. The Torah tells us a Levi has no Chela in Eretz Yisrael. The time of the Torah, it's all about, it's always been from time immemorial. Money! It's all about money. HaKesef Ya'am Esakol. Land is a source of income. Agricultural society. Hashem said in Klal Yisrael, there's a Sheva called Sheva Levi. Hashem hu nachalasa. You don't go to work. You don't toil the land. You have a different job. You're going to be the teachers of Klal Yisrael. You're going to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. You're going to be available to teach all of the Rebbeim, to teach the Tineka Shol Beis Rava, to delve into the depth of the Torah, to be the spiritual leaders. You can't be in business and be Talmud Chacham at the same time. It's not the way it goes. One or the other. Shevet Levi, it was destined. Hashem hu nachalosam. They have no chelik in Eretz Yisrael. So I want to suggest the following chiddush. A bias is a marshal, a metaphor for the base medrash. The bias. Shifti beveis Hashem kol yimei chayot. The sodeh is a metaphor. Smach zevulun bitzei secha is when you go out with a lecht chavad is parnosa. The sada represents wealth, commerce, success. And the Torah is giving very powerful musa. For the average person, where do they have satisfaction? I mean, everyone is a talmud. Everyone learns. Everyone davens. But the reality is, most people are not cut out, don't learn. They don't learn 24-7. Today, even the Talmid Chacham today don't learn 24-7. The average person, Haneg Bohen, Mina Derech Eretz. You go out to work, you live, you make a parnasa. There's nothing more satisfying than being Nene Miyagiyas Kapov. You make a parnasa. There's no greater satisfaction. You make a parnasa, you go work. You need security. The Torah gave security to the Klal Yisrael in the Sodeh. But Sheva Levi, you know where their life is all it is? Their life is in the Beis Medrash. Sheva Levi has no chelik in the Sodeh. Their role is to be servants of Hashem, Hashem hu nachalosam. And therefore the Torah is telling the whole Klal Yisrael, you better make sure, and the Levim have to know also, that your security is in the Beis Medrash. A Levi, if he sells the bias, he gets it back. He gets it back. A regular Jew who sells the bias, gone forever. Every person needs to have that sense of security. Until Rashi is just talking about Gashmias. The security of the Gashmias of a regular Jew is in the Sodeh. A Levi doesn't have a sodeh, so the Levi's sense of security is in the gashminess of having a bias. But take it deeper. It's not just, oh, your gashminess is a sodeh, and your gashminess is a bias. No, a bias is a metaphor for shifti beveis Hashem kol yimei chayah. The sodeh is a metaphor for haneg bohem mineg derech eretz. You plant, you plow, you work the land, you toil the land. And the Torah says, each of these individuals, we're gonna customize the laws of where they're going to have a guaranteed sense of security. For the regular person, the security is in their parnasa. But for the Talmud Chacham, for the Kohanim, for the Levim, the people that are Shiv Yves Hashem, they also have to have security. They have to have security in their bias. If they sell their bias because there's a difficulty, they have to have the ability to get it back. They have to know in the back of their mind they are secure in where they are, in their role. They're not just, you know, fodder. There has to be. And that has many applications. That has one application is that the Kohanim and Levim have to realize, have to believe, this is it. If this is where the Torah in the bias guarantees I'm never gonna lose it, this is where the action is for me. This is where my action is. If this is where the Torah is giving me security, I have to believe in the Torah and believe that this is where I will find my satisfaction. And I have to apply myself and I have to commit myself fully to my purpose, my role, and not go look for greener pastures. And on the other hand, you want to go to a yeshiva dinner and talk like a fundraiser, you'll say, it's our duty to make sure that our rebbeim are paid well and are able to have what they need to serve us, to serve in their role. It's the duty of Klal Yisrael to make sure that they are secure, just like every person in their own role, in their own parnasa, demands from his employers, you know, certain amenities and certain rights and certain benefits and perks. If we are employing these individuals, it is our duty that Talmidei Chachamim, people who serve Klal Yisrael, should have the guarantees in their bias, just like we have guarantees in our Sodeh. Okay, there is a parallel. And the Rashi really is an incredible Rashi. Rashi explains these parashas. The Yisrael has a Sodeh, so the Torah gave him security. But the Torah didn't give security to the bias. And if you'll do an economic analysis, you'll realize it's not so good that you should, that people should be able to buy back their house every other day. It'll ruin the economy, the price of real estate.
Which pasuk are you talking about for the Bnei Yisrael?
It's the Batei Orei Choyma. The Batei Orei Choyma. And then you have to go weiter a few seconds later where you're talking about the Orei Halevian. Read what Rashi says in the Orei Halevian. So Rashi sets up a system for regular Yisrael, for the regular, the Sada, security. The Bayis, no security. And then it comes to the Levi, and the Levi, so what would the Levi, if the Torah would stop there, the Torah would say, Levi, tough luck, too bad for you. Levi, you have no Sada, you have no fields. Torah didn't give Shev the Levi a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. Levi, where do you live? Oh, you have a Bayis. The Shev, they were given button. And they were given ownership of their little huts. Ubate Halevian. So let's say the Levi has 7 daughters to marry off. He needs to sell his house and go live somewhere in a shelter. So he sells his house. Too bad for you. The lawyers, when it comes to a bias, if you sell your bias, it's gone forever. Torah says that's not fair. That's not fair. The Levi needs security also. So since it's all he got, we're going to give him security in his bias. If he sells his bias, we're going to give him the ability to get it back one day down the line. But expand upon that concept. The bias is the base medrash. The sada is business or professional services. A person who's a professional, he has insurance, he has health care, he has a retirement package. There are securities. Does the Shevet Levi have security in that world? No, because they're busy in the Beis Hamikdash. They're busy teaching children. They're busy doing things for Klal Yisrael. They don't have any security in that world. So where do they live? In what world do they live? They have a bias. And the bias, there's no security in the bias. There's no money in Torah. Money in Torah today is zero. Zero. Rebbeim, you know, the Rebbeim today are being asked in Lakewood, Rebbeim, I mean all over. You want to be a Rebbe in Yeshiva Katana? The first year or two, you don't get paid.
Really?
What? There's such
what?
Yeah. there's such a long waiting list to be a Rebbe. So the first year you work for free. And then the second year, we'll start to pay you. If we have money, we'll pay you. On time.
How can you justify
that? Because the demand.
So what?
There's no justification. But it's supply and demand. Supply and demand. Supply and demand.
You have a job after 2 years?
There's no, in Torah, they'll stick you out at the end. There is no such thing in the Torah world as guarantees to anything. And in fact, unfortunately, the main nature is after you serve long enough, then we need someone young, dynamic. It's the Kindleach, you know. So the Torah here is responding to that. The Torah is saying, listen, in the business world, you're an outsider. You're biased. If you really were to follow the bias, the Torah says there's no guarantees that the bias, which we're saying is the mashma for Torah. So the Torah says, don't do that. For the Levim, you have to make an exception. You have to give them security. And that has many dimensions to it. You have to appreciate, here is where you will find your satisfaction in life, and this is your role. And if you want to, I'm repeating myself, you want to be a fundraiser and go to a big yeshiva dinner and beg your audience, give more. There's an envelope on a table. You would say the same way the people who are successful in the business world have everything that they need. You set up for yourself a wonderful system for yourself, which basically is the concept of the field goes back to you when it comes Yovel, the ultimate safety net. So we have to make sure that the Levim have also some type of safety net, some type of structure, some type of system where they can feel secure in order to be able to succeed. Okay, let's finish up with an idea of the Yirah Shemayim. In this week's parasha, it says multiple times Yirah Shemayim. And it appears there's a pattern. There's a pattern in Yirah Shemayim. The first time it mentions Yirah Shemayim, this pasuk talks about one place where it talks about Yirah Shemayim is about Ribbis. It's towards the end of Ribbis. What is it? Rashi there, so I'm not going to read the Rashi on time, but Rashi there says, what is Ribbis? Ribbis is a fascinating concept. You do nothing and you make money. Get rich quick. The ultimate get rich quick scheme is Ribbis. My father always used to say, tell me, banks, it's the best business. What do? They do nothing. They lend you money. Mortgage. The money just comes in. They lend you money and they charge you outrageous rates of interest for the rest of your life. You don't have to provide any services. You don't have to make a product. You don't have to have food. You don't have to build. There are no codes, government regulations, nothing. A guy walks in off the street, they want a mortgage. You go, you give him $100,000, and for the next 25 years, he gives you money. it's unbelievable. You lend someone money, and he gives you back more money. And what would you have been doing during that time with the money? Nothing. The money would be sitting in the bank. So anyway, I wouldn't be, the money anyway is sitting around, so I'll let it sit around by him, and the money will double, triple. Okay, you have to look out guarantees, security, or whatever. It's FDIC in America. You really need to protect it to a certain degree. Okay, so Ribbis is unbelievable. The money is bottom. You do nothing. Torah says, Jews among themselves, don't you dare. Ribbis is awesome. Awesome. You're not allowed to take advantage. It's an incredible concept. Torah does not allow the whole economy, the whole world economy, from beginning to end, is based on Ribbis. The world cannot exist for one moment if there wasn't something called ribbis. L'anochli sashich, v'yasachicha lo sashich. The world, the Torah says, there better be ribbis. This is not a concept for the world. The world economy will mamish come to an end if there's no such principle as ribbis. But for Klal Yisrael, you're free riders. The world has a system of ribbis, but not amongst you. Because why? You're taking advantage. You're doing nothing, and you're gaining. And then the Torah says, watch out. V'yoreisa me'elokecha. Watch, Torah adds, be a Yoresh. Torah doesn't say, V'yoresa Melokecha 613 times, every single mitzvah. It only says, V'yoresa Melokecha for a handful number of mitzvahs. Ribbis, in this week's parasha, it tags on, watch out. Another example of the Yoresa Melokecha. V'yoresa de boy beferech. You have an Eved Kenani. And guess what? You have nothing to do with him today. You have nothing to do today with this guy. Everything is good. The floors are clean. Everything has been clean. So I don't want my slaves just, you know, do nothing. I don't want them idling. So you know what? I'll have them build for me peace and veranzas. I'll just make them do labor for nothing. For nothing. I'll trick them. I'll tell them to do whatever, to go do something which I don't need them to do, just to keep them busy, just for the purpose of keeping them busy. But what they're going to do for me is utterly worthless. Don't you dare. You know, you're only allowed to engage a person in constructive labor. If you have nothing to do with them, find something constructive. You don't want them idling. Obviously, to idle is not a good idea. That would lead to who knows what, to Avera. So find a constructive project. Do chesed. Find them something constructive to do. But the Torah Rashi makes it very clear, don't go, they have nothing to do. I don't want them idling. So I'll just have them build a bridge to nowhere. Right? I'll just do just nonsense, just to keep them busy. Usser. Then the Torah adds, out of nowhere, V'yoresa Melokecha. It pegs V'yoresa Melokecha to this. And then there's a third place in the Torah where it says in this week's parasha, I think only says it three times, if I'm not mistaken, Oinoas Devarim. Don't be nasty. You see someone in the street, don't insult him. Don't say you're fat. You're ugly, you're stupid, or give him bad advice. Oinoas devarim. And then the Torah says, V'yoresa me'elokecha. Fear God. What's the connection? There's a pattern. The pattern is, every time it says V'yoresa me'elokecha, it all revolves around nothingness. What I'm trying to say is, the ultimate insult you can give a person is to tell him that he serves no purpose in this world, or his services are worthless. Just like when it comes to ribis and avodas perech, Rashi explicitly discusses the concept of worthlessness. Of something having bought, the money is doing nothing. You're getting money out of nothing. The concept of nothingness, avodas perach, you're going to have them slave away for nothing. So that is a davar shayy bechlalvi. It's part of the, when it comes to speaking words of insult, it's part of the same team. Why is something called that when you insult a person? What is, so you can say the person, you know, you're overweight. What are you trying to say to him? You ate food for no reason. You did something, you engaged in something that was utterly worthless, no purpose. Causing pain to another person through your koyach hadibur is rooted deep down, when a person feels insulted, why does he feel insulted? Why does it hurt him? What is an insult? In all the various million forms of insult, it all has one common denominator. Why is it? So what is the feeling of being degraded? Why does the person feel degraded? What is the root of feeling degraded? I'm worthless. I serve no purpose. I'm here for no reason. When a person degrades someone else in every form of insult, the essence saying to this person that in one dimension or in many dimensions or in a total form, you are just taking up space in this world, and you're here for, you don't serve a purpose. That is why the erase on the Elohim. Every time you deal with an element of nothingness and someone coming to take advantage, Hashem says, how dare you? How dare you? Every single thing in this world has a purpose. There is no such thing in this world as nothingness. Hurting a person by in essence telling him you're nothing is the greatest denial of spirituality, of ruchnius. There's crazy people out there in this world. It's not just conspiracy theories. People, you know, they talk about this a lot in the news about depopulation. And there's a certain person, we always have clips of him. It's got Harari, I think his name. Something's a Jewish name, openly talks about the redundant nature of man. Too many men in this world, too many people in this world, they're taking up all these resources, global warming. We don't need so many people in this world. You should just have a select few. This is the greatest kefira, the ultimate kefira of the Oreisa Me'elokach. When people talk that there's no purpose, everything that Hashem created, everything has a purpose. That purpose serves Hashem and creates a rigui in acknowledging HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when you hear people talking about, you know, things have no purpose right away, this is a person who's challenging the Oreisa Me'elokecha, a denial of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkoch existence and Hashkoch practice. And unfortunately, you see this lately, a lot of...
Abortion.
What?
Isn't that abortion?
In many dimensions. When you begin to talk about... This week's parasha makes it very clear. The Oreisa Me'elokecha appears, this week's parasha, in three dimensions. Ribbis, Avodas Torah, and I know Asubari. What do all three have in common? They all dwell upon nothingness. To take advantage of a person for doing nothing. I have money, it's sitting around, and now, it's bottle, and from what's bottle, I'm going to cause another person to suffer. He's going to have to go and pay me money. He's going to have to go and make... what is ribbis by two Jews? I know in the world you can't exist without ribbis. You have a hit the iska. But I'm talking over here, ideals, okay, in a make-believe fantasy world. Okay, but what is ribbis? The money's doing nothing. So I'm going to make him suffer because of doing nothing. I'm going to give it to him and he's going to make more money. If I wouldn't give it to him, where would the money? The money would sit in the bank. So now, this, out of nothing, I'm causing another person to suffer because of me. Avoid as perech. My workers have nothing to do today. So you know what? Let them go dig a hole in the ground that I don't need to be dug. And then tell another set of workers to go fill up the hole. Ask all of others. The erase them and look out. I know as devarim. The ultimate I know as devarim in every form is you're nothing. You're redundant. You're superfluous. You don't need. You serve no function. This attitude is the ultimate kefir. Every time you have an element of nothingness and someone coming to take advantage or to abuse, the Torah says, watch out. This is the antithesis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation. The Oreisa Me'elokecha Ani Hashem. There's no such thing in this world as nothingness. It's here for a purpose. You may not understand the purpose, but it's here for a purpose. The money is in your pocket, in your bank account. You know what it's here for? To give to him, to help him. And he'll give it back to you when it's finished. It's here, you should give it to him. A person is here for a purpose. You don't understand this purpose, it's your problem. You don't have to go and insult him. You have slaves, they have nothing to do. Give them a day off. You're afraid they're going to be too idle and make trouble. So send them out to do chesed. Find a project that is a constructive project. There's no such thing as nothing. The world was created, Yesh Me'ayin, by Hashem. That's the message of V'yareisa Milokecha. There's no such thing as nothing. Thank you for listening, everybody. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Enjoy.